Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Are there ET bases on the far side of the moon? Was there life on Mars 300,000 years ago? The origin of the races that came to this planet. Where did they come from? What other planets? All of that is in the book, The Theoba Prophecy, first written as Abduction to the Ninth Planet by Michel Demarquet.
After he wrote this book, and he was trying to promote the book, and people didn't believe his messages, and for a long period of time, he was really, really depressed. He really had a major breakdown, psychological breakdown. He told some of his close friends, "You don't know what this kind of people did to my life. They destroyed my life." This is how actually he felt at that time.
My guest is Samuel Chong. He's an interpreter, Chinese translator in LA, and he at one point found the book written by a contactee. And the contactee is French. He was living in Australia at the time. Then he moved to Vietnam. Samuel was so captivated by the story that he tracked the man down in Vietnam and talked to him in person. When he did that, he also found out that the man had tried to get a book and actually received money to have a book published in China, but it hit a brick wall. So he asked Samuel if he would help. Samuel completed the translation in Chinese. The book became a bestseller in China and Taiwan. Theoba Prophecy by Michel Demarquet. The story is, Michel was sleeping. He gets up, sees a light, goes out. There's a mist, kind of a haze, a blue haze. Now, I'm paraphrasing this. Read the book for the details. He leaves a note for his wife and says he'll be back. Then he gets on a ship and off he goes. On the way to the planet with the ETs, who look human, only they're about 8 to 9 feet tall, he's given the backstory of how humans came to be on this planet, the different races and where each race came from. Polynesians, a certain planet. Blacks, a certain planet. Yellow, a certain planet. All of this on the way to the planet where these aliens have originated. The things he learns and discovers are mind-boggling. And when he tries to come back and tell his story, you can imagine how that went. When Samuel shows up, Michelle, living in Vietnam, has actually been told a young man would come and help him with his story. He doesn't tell Samuel that immediately. Skipping to where he's been given the backstory about where humans on this planet have come from, and he's continuing on to the Theoubans planet. Again, they're 8 foot tall. They look like us. Androgynous, though. Here's Samuel.
They arrived at the planet Theoba, which is also called by the author a golden planet, because he saw a lot of golden mist before arriving on that planet. And he also saw a lot of bright colors and bright light. And he had to wear like a facial mask or like a sunglasses to filter out the strong light and strong colors in order to be able to see everything. And that's very interesting, because in the book, it also talks about the effects of color on people. Interestingly enough, I read another book called Chromotherapy or Color Therapy. Before the invention of antibiotics, a lot of people in the U.S., also in India, used colors to cure different diseases or to heal different diseases. The effects of bluish, blue color can be verified by modern science to have antibacterial, antiviral effects. This is actually a research paper by Harvard Medical School. I would suggest people to check it out, the effect of blue color. And also, modern science also say green color has the effects of treating migraines. So if you have a headache or migraines, you can just have blue, like a green color, to shine on you, and in about 20 minutes after a few treatments or a few sessions, you wouldn't have migraines anymore. So this is done by scientific research, modern research. So this book actually emphasizes the effects of colors on people. A lot of other interesting details, such as ET technologies, where Michel Demarquet saw that they can actually make water from air. And he was also told that they can also split the hydrogen-oxygen covalent bond from water molecules. So if we can do that, we can extract all hydrogen as a source of energy power. So we can actually use water as an energy source. The key, I did some research, the key is to find the exact frequency or vibration so that it causes a resonant effect on the water molecules, so that the hydrogen can be separated from water molecules more effectively or more efficiently. This is actually done by people in the past. There's a guy who in the 70s invented a water-powered car. He mysteriously died. And I think people interested can check out this fact. And this book talks about the urgency of inventing a hydrogen engine that ran on water.
There's a lot of tech information in there suggesting that we have the ability to do some of these things, and we really need to get with the program and start being more guardians of our planet instead of exploiting the planet.
Yes, and I would suggest engineers or inventors check out Stanley Meyer, water-powered cars, and also can check out other inventors, not just Stanley Meyer, but also other people from Greece, from Brazil, from other countries, or even Japan. They invented engines that ran on water. But somehow, if they try to patent their inventions, they just don't get commercialized because of the special interest groups like the petroleum companies and also other special interest groups.
Well, it makes sense because they're already making a profit, and this would deviate and take away from that. So it's competition.
Yes, exactly. And also, there are a lot of cures, natural cures that I learned, but they're suppressed by the pharmaceutical companies. And same thing is happening right now with the situation we are having right now.
Fuel by Prophecy by Michel Demarquet. Samuel interviewed Michel before he died. He has other pieces of information that he hopes to include in a future book.
He really wanted to go back to feel about the Category 9 planet, because everything appeared to him as a paradise. He didn't know he was coming back. He was thinking they were taking him to another place. But when he landed on Earth, he was really, really kind of depressed, because when you were shown a paradise and when you were told you don't belong here, you have to go back and write a book, and you can imagine what kind of feeling Michel Demarquet had at that time. For a long period of time, after he wrote this book, and he was trying to promote the book, and people didn't believe his messages, and for a long period of time, he was really, really depressed. He really had a major breakdown, psychological breakdown. He told some of his close friends, "You don't know what this kind of people did to my life. They destroyed my life." This is how actually he felt at that time. He claimed that this group of beautiful and advanced ETs destroyed his life, because he lost his wife, and his wife didn't believe him at all. She thought he was having an affair with another woman, so she divorced him, and then he had no one to rely on. Even though he gave a lot of public lectures in the early 90s, inner emotional feelings, he really just believed that if he didn't have this kind of experience, if he weren't shown this paradise, he would have lived a very, very good life, just like a landscaper, planting vegetables and food, and also raising cattle in Australia, like a normal life. But this event totally changed him, and according to him, he didn't really enjoy the aftermath after coming to Earth.
This is a preface from the book, and these are his words. "I've written this book as a result of orders received in which I have obeyed. Further, it is an account of events that happened to me personally. This I affirm. I imagine that to some extent the extraordinary story will appear to some as science fiction, a story entirely invented, but I do not have the imagination that such a fabrication would require. This is not science fiction. The reader of good faith will be able to recognize the truth in the message I transmit from my new friends to the people of the planet Earth. This message, in spite of numerous references to races and religions, reflects neither racial nor religious bias on behalf of the author." And signed, Michael DeMarquet, January 1989. So from that moment, he tried to do his best to tell and relate his experience to a world that can't fathom the possibility that there's life on other planets or in other dimensions, or that there are parallel universes, even though our science is beginning to say and validate parallel universes exist.
Exactly. A lot of scientific research have come out to validate or prove some of the details written in the book. This book is amazing. It's so amazing that it has so many, many details that one has to read the book very carefully, multiple times, in order to grasp the knowledge and the messages contained in the book. This is also very interesting to me because when I proofread the translation, sometimes I was not careful, and after it's published, a lot of people would come up to me saying, "Samuel, you didn't really pay attention to this detail. You you overlooked this specific translation." So even after like 2 years after this book was published in China and Taiwan, there are still readers finding like a little bit of translation errors, and this is fascinating because. What mentioned about the blue light, antibacterial, antiviral effect, it also contains other, minuscule details that can be proven and verified by additional research. For example, one thing it mentions is that there was life on Mars about 300,000 years ago, because when yellow people and black people were trying to move to Earth, they first explored Mars. Mars at that time had a kind of a people or intelligent people that were very spiritual. But because Mars was cooling down, in the book it only mentions about the cooling down of Mars. But I did additional research. When a planet cools down, it actually means the core of the planet cools down. When the core cools down, it loses the magnetic field of the planet so that the atmosphere gets lost. So when the planet loses its atmosphere, it doesn't attract the oxygen that's essential for people to survive on the planet. Mm-hmm. So that's what happened to Mars. So that's a very interesting detail that I found. And also it talks about the ET alien stations on the far side of the moon. When people were trying to, different ways of people were trying to establish a population on Earth, they first used the moon, the far side, the back side of the moon as a base, as a transfer station. So that's why nowadays you hear people say, there's some kind of artificial structures on the far side of the moon. So it's really something that's already talked about in this book. So NASA scientists or astronauts can actually go to the far side of the moon and see this artificial structure or ET bases if they want to.
The ETs also, this group that he connected with, also have the ability to basically materialize or dematerialize, change molecules that could create an illusion, a very, to us, realistic perception of something being real when it's just temporary.
Exactly. And they have all the skills and knowledge to influence how we influence a specific person or maybe a small group of people, how they think or behave. There are actually some people nowadays that can do this. I translated another book called 334,000 Lies. I did that from German into English. It talks about this group of people on Earth that belong to a secret society that have this kind of supernatural abilities to really predict certain things that would happen, but also to influence how people think, or what we say, mind control.
Mm-hmm.
And this book talks about writes about the experiences of the highest chair of that organization. I found out later that it's actually the highest chair of the Illuminati that started in Germany. So the book was actually written in German. It talks about how he became a member of that secret society, and how he became the highest leader. But I wouldn't suggest people to read this book unless they're ready, because it contains a lot of graphic violence and also a lot of descriptions of gruesome tortures. And it coincides with the experiences of some other people who had experiences with the Illuminati. So everything makes sense. Everything's connected.
Well, and the group that Michelle dealt with, they are totally nonviolent, benevolent society.
Yes. They're loving people. They come from a Category 9 planet. They also sent Jesus to us. Actually, Jesus was one of them. The Jesus who died on a cross, who resurrected 3 days after, not the one who was born from Virgin Mary, who later went to India and died in Japan. And so they were, when Michelle met them, he felt love, unconditional love from this group of people. But because of the situation we are in nowadays, they have to give us a stern warning that we have to mend our ways, to change the way that we live and run our society. The messages are very strong, and that's why they ordered or instructed Michel Demarquet to write this book.
And you said that there were a couple of books that he recommended to read after he had had this experience. The Book of Enoch, which John Foster also said was important to his experience, saying this validates everything, because Enoch had the same experiences that are, you know, reflected in these encounters.
Yes, and I have to look into more and maybe talk to John about it. But Michel Demarquet also was recommended to read the Book of Enoch. After he read it, he was so astonished that he said that what Enoch experienced and described, how he went to heaven or the other places, was extremely similar to what Michel Demarquet experienced of going to planet Theova. A lot of descriptions match what he saw and experienced. One thing I like to remind people is that Enoch is the great-grandfather of Noah. So Enoch was instructed to write a book. Remember what happened to Noah decades after. There was a flood, and some people were saved and some were not. Michel Demarquet was also ordered and instructed to write this book, very similar to Enoch. So you can imagine what's going to happen, how critical it is that we follow the directions or the messages.
Focusing on things that are not the material part of life, but the connecting with the environment, the ecosystem, and trying to go back and undo some of the damage we've done.
Yes. And the way to do that is to raise awareness from the common people, because I tried in the past to persuade or to influence the world leaders. They don't work. Everything has to happen at a grassroots level, because only then we can really change the world through concerted action. Remember, if we have a strike, who loses the most is the special interest groups, the people at the top. Because when we have a strike or nonviolent resistance, we lose little, they would lose big. And if we don't act, if we don't form this concerted action, nonviolent resistance, like what Gandhi did in India, they're never going to change. So this has to come from us, the common people at a grassroots level, through concerted action. This is why I'm putting so much energy and time to spread the messages in this book, is that we have to act together. The more people who realize this by reading this book or by reading other books, the more we can really have a successful concerted action or strike.
Well, it has to do with changing your thoughts. And when there is a thought on one level, then it connects with somebody else. We still are so unfamiliar with how impactful and strong our thoughts are.
And the book really emphasizes the importance of meditation and concentration. By meditation, one can go into one's subconscious mind. It is really the subconscious mind that's really powerful, that can make things happen. Sooner or later, when you use your subconscious mind to wish certain things that would happen, if they're beneficial for your spiritual growth, they will happen. And people in Africa, some tribal groups, and they can make rain just by thinking about it. I did some research on that. They're actually wishing that to happen from their subconscious mind. So the mind is powerful. It really says that in the Bible as well. So only by, you can go into subconscious mind by having a meditation or also through other means. And I think it's important that people realize this and concentrate on their subconscious mind, that they can make everything happen.
He tries to be specific in the book and says, you know, this isn't for the older people. You've already been there, done that. This is for the younger people who are ready to make a change and would like to see a different reality in this moment of being more conscious creators and more protective of the environment. There's a lot of a general opinion of maybe we don't have any way to change what's happening right now. And that isn't what the Theobans, they say, no, you have, the minute you address it, you're changing it.
Yes. And the minute you think about it using your subconscious mind, you're changing it. I agree with John's, I look at his website, he mentioned about holographic universe. And it is important that if you use your mind to concentrate on certain things, it changes the entire universe. In a way that it's like a holographic universe. One thing changes everything. Everything is connected. And I think this book, Michel de Marquet's book, Theobald Prophecy, also encourages us to seek for knowledge, spiritual knowledge and also material knowledge. It superficially mentions a lot of topics or subjects that people can really delve into that and do additional in-depth research.
We all know that feeling. You finally manage to get away on vacation and the worrying starts. Will that bogus beware of dogs sign keep your home safe? What about that fake camera you set up? And will someone finally find your old hide and key rock? That's where ADT comes in. All that stuff, it's safe-ish. It seems fine when you don't really think about it, but you know it truly doesn't work. Instead, ADT provides security solutions that keep you actually safe, giving you real peace of mind. Because vacation is supposed to be, you know, relaxing. Don't settle for safe-ish. Visit ADT.com today to learn more.
Theobald Prophecy by Michel de Marquet. Samuel Chong.
For example, after researching a lot of the topics mentioned in this book, I began to focus more on the realities that we're having right now, how world affairs are going towards. As a Chinese myself, I get access to certain information that a non-Chinese speaker wouldn't be able to. I get first-hand information from whistleblowers in China or from China. Currently, the pandemic is changing a lot of people's lives. But where did the virus come from, really? and how are people reacting to the lockdowns in China? And also, how are people reacting to the mandatory force vaccines that the governments are asking people to do? It really puzzles me that people just take for granted and follow the order from the government, from the highest levels of the government. They really should be able to think independently by going to alternative media and to see why there are so many licensed medical doctors in the United States that cannot voice their opinions out on mainstream media like YouTube or Twitter. Their messages get censored. Why is that? There are licensed medical doctors in the United States that cannot voice their opinions out on certain issues related to the pandemic. If they cannot say anything, who can? Do we just have to listen to the central government or government agencies? And what are they trying to reveal that the mainstream media are suppressing right now? Are the messages really that important that they just have to focus on the censorship used in China or maybe imitate what China did to their people? I mean, the Chinese government censors everything, and now we are seeing everything happening in the U.S. as well. So this is unbelievable. People should really think why and how everything is unraveling and to be able to do more independent thinking.
There are issues with media, having worked as a news broadcaster. You're only allowed a certain amount of time, and you're going to have the hot spots, the stories that are the top of the feed, which right now it's the death of the Queen. And then there's also an issue around Donald Trump, former president, and what he had at Mar-a-Lago, and then who all's involved in that, and the investigation of January 6th. Those are going to be the top stories. And then there may be something else if somebody important dies, or if something happens in space, or a natural disaster, something, or mass catastrophe. But in news, if it bleeds, it leads. So the stories that are going to have the most volume, as in loud, and get people's attention, are going to be top tier. Anything that doesn't have that same kind of effect is going to be pushed aside. When you're trying to get information that has substance, when you're going into medical information as a reporter, you have to get more details. That's time consuming. And if you're working for a news organization that pumps out headlines, there's no time to do the research. So if you put a story out and your story is incorrect, the story that's going to go out is the incorrect version. People don't stick around to read the correction. And that also happens in the newspaper. If there's a headline and the headline is inaccurate, the correction is published maybe days later and maybe on the fifth or sixth page. That's the problem with news media, is that it is driven and it is consumer oriented. They want you to buy the product. And back in the 80s, it started becoming more showy, more dramatic, more infotainment. And that changed everything. So in terms of the Western, I'm talking about media in the United States, that was a big deal. And news departments were decimated. The reporters fired because that was too much money. We became headline news. And so in order to do the research, thank goodness for the internet now, because you can look up things, but you have to be discerning and understand who's putting this information out. Is there an agenda? Is there a payoff? Who's paying for it? There's a lot more in terms of having your own opinion and thinking for yourself, a lot more elbow grease, a lot more determination, and a lot more discernment, understanding where the information you're getting is coming from. Does that make sense?
Yes, exactly. And especially I want to also add a point that the Chinese Communist Party used the brainwashing techniques or technologies in the past. They always say report the international news in a certain way, using a lot of time and never mention anything about what happened in China, the issues in China. So and in the U.S. it's happening similarly. Always the sensational news takes the front page.
There's an agenda. Going back to the experience, this is a crucial moment where some of the experiencers are finally getting their voice heard. And it took you to take his voice to the next level to carry it forward. I think that's incredible because you were able to tap into him at a time when he was coherent, when he was still ready to do the work to get that book republished and have you translated into Chinese, which is phenomenal. You know, those kinds of things, it says in terms of the ETs who are behind the scenes, they have an agenda. Do you know what the timing is about?
Well, if you really read the book of Enoch, he wrote a book, and then in the flood happened 60 to 80 years after he wrote the book of Enoch. And so Michel de Marquet wrote the book in 1989. He had the experience in 1987. So you can do the calculation and to see when that's going to happen. And I think this is actually a very crucial and important time for us. For this purpose, I wrote an article on my website regarding the second coming of Christ. And a lot of Christians believe that Jesus Christ is coming back to us, but they don't know the timing, no one knows the timing. And I wrote about it, and if people are interested, they can look it up and figure it out. When people ask me, what did Michel de Marquet tell you? The one thing that he was not allowed to write in the book, I say he, by the instruction of Tao, the ET, he told me that not to reveal the information to anyone. But he was allowed to reveal the information to me. So, but he didn't say that I couldn't make a puzzle out of it, and so to let people figure it out. So that's what I did. I actually wrote frequently asked questions, and also wrote this article, the second coming of Christ. It's actually an analogy. It doesn't mean that Jesus is coming back. It's an analogy. So people can read between the lines of the article that I wrote and figure it out.
It's on your page. Okay, so the website. Chinasona.org?
Yeah.
Okay, chinasona.org. And the article is on that website front page?
/Tiaouba, T-H-I-A-O-O-U-B-A with the capital letter T. And then from that page, people can go to the frequently asked questions page. And then at the end of that page, people will be able to find that article.
There's a lot of information, some of your previous interviews, and a lot of content here, so people can do a deep dive into all of that, which I think that's fun. Yay. So, okay, the other thing, when you talked about the telepathy and the other things that they did, because that's what's fascinating, too, in the treatment with the light. Like, at one point, he was taken to a certain place, and his astral body was away while they fumigated. they cleaned and desanitized or sanitized his body with light?
Yes. They disinfected him first using yellow light and blue light. And then after his astral body leaves his physical body, they also did another sanitation process using vibration or frequency. I would assume that it would harm his astral body. So that's why his astral body had to leave his physical body. And then and then he came back. So that's another very interesting detail. And
I mean, then just the process of showing him the other planets, that some were lesser, they weren't as evolved, and showing the difference between that and, you know, the state of evolution of the beings on those planets.
Yes, and after that, he was also shown his past lives. So a lot of people say, mention about Akashic Record, it does exist. So according to this book, Everything is recorded. Everything happened on planet is recorded in the Akashic record. And it's like a cocoon rotating 7 times the speed of light, recording everything that happens on planet. And he was actually taken into that cocoon, that Akashic record, and to see some of the things that happened in the past on Earth. For example, he saw the destruction of the continent, Lemuria, how the continent sank into the Pacific Ocean. He also saw how people lived back 14,500 years ago. It's a lot of details, and I suggest people to read the book to get more information, get this kind of important knowledge.
Yeah, because they go into the past lives, and that's one of the books that he recommended was Life After Life, Raymond Moody. Going into that, saying that he was chosen because he had 80 past lives. So it gave him a different kind of awareness or soul that would be able to engage with this material, even though it isn't necessarily conscious. There's a subconscious bond that gave him a little bit more potential to be able to take this information forward. See, I think that's shattering. That the thing when he came back and was depressed and saying, I've just seen an extraordinary reality and I can't be part of it. I have to come back here where no one believes me.
Well, since you mentioned about this, I'm going to reveal one thing that people don't know about Michel Demarquet. He was shown his past 80 lives or his past lives on the planet Theoba, but he wasn't shown his immediate past life. After he came back to Earth, after he wrote this book, he was shown his immediate past life. Remember, he was the highest level of planet was Category 7. He was on Category 7 planet during one of his past lives. But then he fell to Earth, a Category 1 planet, for a reason. And he was shown, he was explained the reason after he finished writing this book. The reason was that in his immediate past life, he did something terribly wrong, that he violated one of the Ten Commandments. I will use quote when I say the Ten Commandments of the Bible. He did something terrible that he had to come down to Earth, a Category 1 planet, as a form of, I would say, like karma or result of actions from his previous life.
An atonement, basically, to make amends.
Yes.
Yeah, saying, okay, well, you progressed so far, but you regressed, so let's go back to square one for a time. Okay, and the other thing I liked was levitation. And there was a conversation, you know, they would levitate. And so he was wanting to levitate too. Now, actually, there's the levitating saint is a story that's out there. I'm not going to go into it. But there's also Helene Hansel. She was a person who was really an incredible manifester. And, you know, what you think, what you wish, what you dream can come true. And one of the things she wanted to do was levitate. And so she said she focused really hard. She figured out if, you know, it can be done. And she did it. And she decided never again. Nope. Because she had to really struggle to get back down. And that was the end of her levitation experiment. Back to his experience, he was asking why they didn't levitate more often. Can you fill us in?
Well, the Theobans, the people on Theoba, could levitate at their will. According to them, even then, Michel Demarquet was asking, why, if you can levitate, why do you still need a travel device to go anywhere that they wanted to go? They told him that they could only travel at a certain speed via levitation, and it's really energy consuming. So that's why they still had to use a device that had the anti-gravitational technology to travel around. Levitation is energy, it's very energy consuming, and I know at least 3 people who can levitate. One I personally know, she is a healer, a Chinese healer residing in Anaheim in Los Angeles area, or Anaheim is actually Orange County. So she has the ability of having an X-ray eye to see the internal organs of someone's body. She said to me that she could levitate when she was young, but it was when she had this kind of more energy And she did that in the past, but she can no longer do it because she doesn't have that kind of energy anymore. And the other person is Stephen Greer. He said that he could levitate. He levitated like once or twice in the past when he was, you know, very, very meditative or like immersing himself in the, with nature. At that kind of state, he levitated without intentionally levitating himself. And the third person is a monk in Nepal, a magician called Stan White, made a documentary film for the History Channel, or maybe Discovery, I forgot. He traveled to Nepal and meet this monk, and he shot the process when the monk was levitating himself. He couldn't figure out why he was able to do so. It was not by magic, the traditional, conventional, magic done by the magicians, not by that kind of magic, but he captured the moment when the monk lifted himself up. So it's doable, but definitely not the way that transcendental meditation believers believe that the way to do that is done by other means.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and that's the thing when we're talking about telepathy. There are different kinds of telepathy, but we have one word for it. And so with the ET, when something is speaking in your mind without any, on your part, effort, it feels like it's just a part of you and it's coming from inside. And it could be coming from across the universe, but that sensation is different than what we would normally call from you to I telepathic contact.
Yes. That's right. Telepathy was something that Michel de Marquet actually experienced when he was trying to communicate with the ETs. After he came back, he also had telepathic messages sent to him by the ETs. One of the messages was actually something about the gray aliens, the gray ETs on Earth. People claim that they had implants from the ETs. It's true, according to Michelle, the telepathic messages from the ETs, but not as many as some people claimed. Only about 150 or so people had this kind of implants from the gray, the little grays. There's actually something explained to Michelle de Marquet was that no need to worry about it because there's no physical harm to the people who got the implants. They did this because they were trying to monitor us, trying to see how we are going to react to our increasingly decreased immune system because they are having the same problems right now as well. According to Michel de Marquet, we have had this kind of issue since 1948 after the explosion of the atomic bomb. And the little grays, they also come from category one planet and they're a dying species. So they have this kind of immune system issues and they're learning from us and seeing how we are going to respond to it. So they, if they're a category one planet ET and the US government is trying to learn from them, I think it's a mistake. it's a major mistake. When you want to learn something more advanced, you should learn from a category 9 planet, or maybe a category 1, a category 8 planet ET. Not from category 1 planet ET, like the little grays. I mean,
yeah,
we are the same category. I mean, why don't you learn from the best?
You're talking about things that he spoke about after the publication of the book. Are you going to do a follow-up with some of that information?
Yes, I'm thinking about, I'm actually in the process of writing another book, a book of my on my own, and revealing and unveiling all the secrets that I've learned after reading his book and after my own research.
Yeah, I think that would be fantastic because in doing all of the research, you had access to him in person so he could tell you his feelings, his observations, his things that he figured out after coming back, that, you know, that's what we do. We don't, something like that would be basically a shock to the system. And it takes a while to wrap your mind around what all just happened, let alone articulate it. And then if he's getting more information, contact from them, kind of filling in blanks and adding a little extra here and there, by the time he's written the book, that's all, that isn't there. And so it sounds like you have additional information and insight, adding our contemporary science to it and saying, this is how this works, here, do the math, that will add even more validation and credit to his story.
Exactly. Right now, by going on different shows, I'm collecting questions from listeners or readers of the book. So that's going to be very helpful for me to write my own book in the future. And I'm also trying to get as much publicity as possible about Michel de Marquet's book, because I think this book is the most important book that people should actually access and read. So if you know any like other shows or hosts that are willing to have me on their shows, then please let me know. And I'll be glad to review additional information.
And you also have a scholarship program.
Yes. This scholarship awards to anyone who reads this book and writes about it and or invents something that could help people to grow their spirituality. So it's given $1,000 to a person each year. It doesn't matter where you are from, the UK, the US, even China or Vietnam or Cambodia, like it's worldwide.
And your contact information for people who would like to connect with you and send you their information, is it the website?
Yes, the website by email is the best way.
And that's chinasona.org. I really appreciate you taking the time to do what you're doing, because I know you, for one thing, the fact that you even found him is obviously you had an assist. This was going to happen, but then taking on the project and taking it, you know, above and beyond just translating his book into Chinese and now continuing to promote it. That's a full-time job.
Yes, and I think it's by no accident that I'm a Chinese translator who also knows Spanish. And also by working as a translator interpreter, I have access to or get in touch with people from all different industries, not just the legal industry. So I'm in a very unique position, and I'm going to take advantage of it.
I would suggest also translating to Spanish, because since you are familiar and fluent, then that's another language that reaches a whole lot of people who are already familiar with contact and not necessarily so skeptical.
Yes, right now I'm trying to get the book published by a major publisher in Latin America and Spain. Mm-hmm. Having the book the book was a bestseller in China and Taiwan, and it was done by a major publisher there in both places. So I think it's important to have a established publisher to do the work of distribution, and not self-published. It's already been translated into Spanish, but I'm just waiting for a contract signed. A major publisher in Latin America to accept the book to be published.
Excellent. I'll just say congratulations in advance.
Thank you.
I think it's going forward. Anything you would like to add?
Well, I really advise people to read the book and also realize that life is a learning process. We experience life challenges all the time. They're really important and valuable spiritual lessons. And we learn from our life lessons. And after we die, we reveal how we did in this life. And it's the review process that you're going to realize how everything is connected. So it's important that you know to follow the teachings of some of the gurus, including Jesus Christ, and to treat everyone nicely, to have compassion, to have unconditional love, and to seek spiritual knowledge and also material knowledge as well, so that you have a fulfilling and very, very rewarding life in this lifetime.
My guest, Samuel Chenxiong, certified court interpreter, Chinese translator, galactic ambassador now, living in California. I really hope that you publish this in multiple languages because the information is timeless.
Thank you so much for having me here.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.